And we'll go to Isaiah chapter 48, Isaiah chapter 48 in verse number 9. Isaiah 48 and verse 9. Bible says in Isaiah 48 and verse 9, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." Verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." Let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, help me to think clearly and to speak clearly tonight. That it would be a blessing to those who came out tonight to hear from your word. And thank you for everyone that did come. And help us to hear from you tonight and to ponder what your words say. In Jesus' name, amen. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Webster, back in 1828, he said that affliction was the state of being afflicted, a state of pain, distress, or grief. The cause of continued pain of body or mind as sickness, losses, calamity, adversity, persecution. And it says here, "I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." You know, the Bible records a lot of different people who were in the furnace. I'm reminded of a song that I know we have it on one of our music CDs somewhere. "I've been through a fire." And although it hasn't been much fun, the work that it has done in my life was worth the hurt. Why would God choose us in the furnace of affliction? Why would he just get rid of the furnace? Noah and his family had to go through a furnace. Even before then, Cain and Abel. Abel suffered from his own brother for no reason other than the jealousy of his brother. Noah's family, I know, suffered some kind of ridicule, some kind of shunning, I'm sure. And Noah didn't build the ark in 30 days. He built the ark over years and years, maybe even 100. And it took a long time. You see the size of that thing, the model they got out in Kentucky, I guarantee you, it didn't take just a few months. It took years. And I'm sure that they were laughing at him all the time. And, of course, Job, we know about Job's furnace of affliction, right? And even Abram and some of the things that he had to endure. And, of course, Joseph, when his brothers sold him as a slave. And, of course, just the nation of Israel in general, and King David, as we've been studying on Sunday mornings in my class, all the chasing and the hounding that David's been going through with Saul all this time. The furnace of affliction. And, of course, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they literally went into a furnace, right? And then Daniel went into the lion's den. And they were all in Babylon, which was totally out of in a foreign country. And what a shame that was. But it wasn't a shame. Of course, the prophets, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says some of them were sawn asunder. Some of them were wandered about in skins like they were being tortured. And of course, the disciples in history, and Josephus and other Fox's Book of Martyrs says that all of those disciples, the 12, except for, of course, Judas who hung himself, and then John who was exiled to Patmos, and even he was boiled in oil, all of them died a horrendous death. I think Thomas was tied to a rope and hooked to the back of a horse and dragged through the streets. And Peter was hung upside down on a cross. Why does God allow his people to go through the furnace? Why? Well, let's get started tonight. We'll look at some different places in the Bible. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah is where we'll start. After Zechariah, we'll go to the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9. "And I will bring the third part through the fire." Talk about his people. "And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." He's going to put them through a refining process. Look with me over in Psalm 66 and then Proverbs chapter number 17. Psalm 66, first of all. Psalm 66 and then Proverbs chapter 17 after that. Psalm 66, first of all, in verse number 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Before we go to Proverbs, I want to go up to Psalm 100 and verse 5, I think it is, if I remember right, Psalm 100, verse 5. It talks about Joseph. And it says in verse number 17, he was sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. Psalm 105, verse 18, he was laid in iron. In verse 19, until the time that the word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Joseph was in a furnace of some kind, wasn't he? And then we see in Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs chapter 17, in verse number 3, the fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Why? Why affliction? Why does God allow us to go through affliction? And someone prayed it tonight with us guys that we're blessed. You know, we live in a great country and probably a great state of our country. We are blessed and we really have no reason to be complaining. I don't know if some of you saw it, but a few weeks ago there was a video on social media of a guy chopping wood. Only thing was he didn't have any arms. He was chopping with his neck and his chin. You know, it's good for us to sometimes just stop and watch that or watch something like that and just stop and realize, you know, whatever it is you think you got going on isn't that bad. It's the old saying, you know, I felt sorry for myself because I didn't have any shoes until I met someone who didn't have any feet. Why does God allow us to go through affliction? Well, first of all precious things must be tried. Precious metals are only precious because they've been tried. Precious jewels and all precious things have to be tried. And God allows His people to be tried. You go back to the book of Job and you find out that God was simply proving Job to Satan and to Job himself. And God allows us to have affliction and to go through trials. And you know something? We need it. Because in the rough and in the raw, gold has impurities in it. And it needs to be refined. I will refine you as silver is refined, it says. And there's refinery process that takes out the impurities. Oh, there's a lot of good potential there, but there's impurities. Now, I know, stop right here. Most of us are like, well, I don't think there's that many impurities. It's probably more than we even know, right? And so He allows us to go through the affliction, the furnace, because all precious things have to be tried. And also because the word Christian means to be like Christ. I'm looking around the room, and there's some Christians in here, but nobody's just like Christ. And neither is the guy you're looking at. But you know what makes us more like Christ? More than we used to be? The furnaces that He allows us to go through. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah, but that furnace was terrible. I didn't like that. I liked what the song says. I was just singing it earlier today. It hasn't been much fun, but the work that it has done in my life made it worth the hurt. It's like I was saying a few weeks ago. I wouldn't trade for $1 million some of the experiences that I've learned and gone through. I wouldn't give you a nickel to have to do it again. Right? But it's good for us, and we know it's good for us. And we know God has a reason. And all things work together for good. Everything going on in our life is good. Everything that God's doing, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And the Bible tells us over and over again, He uses this analogy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 1. And then chapter 4. chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that word temptation isn't just like we think of it. It's not just the tempting of lust, but also just the trials, tribulations, temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God allows us to have our faith tried. Some of us might say, well, my faith was just fine. You didn't have to try it. Well, for one thing, he might be trying it just to prove it to someone else. Just to illustrate to someone else in your life that your faith is real. Number two, it might be that he wants your faith to get stronger. Don't raise your hand, but how many in here ever at one time in your life you struggled with just tithing 10% of your income? Maybe somebody in here still is. Don't raise your hand. But have you ever, there was a time where you just, man, how are we going to do that? Well, you know something? When you have been through some furnaces of affliction, you get to the point where you don't even struggle with that anymore. You move on to something else, a bigger challenge. Now, hey, I'm not trying to make light of it because there might be somebody here that's still a challenge. But what I'm trying to say is that there was a time when I struggled to walk on 2 feet. There was a time when I struggled to do certain things that now I don't even think about anymore. It's just no big deal. But there was a time I struggled. And affliction and trial and error and the school of hard knocks is what I needed. Chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it strange if you're going through some trial. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But don't suffer as a murderer. Don't, if your problem is because you're a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, busybody in other men's matters, then that's your fault. That's why you're suffering. That's not good. But verse 16 says, if any man suffer as a Christian because you're Christ-like, that's the reason why they don't like you, because you're Christ-like, let him not be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that. But let him glorify God on his behalf. And I mentioned Noah, and I mentioned Daniel, and I mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I mentioned Joseph. I mentioned the disciples. But you know what? That's why they suffered, for Christ. Moses, it says in Hebrews, chose to suffer with the people of God. And Christ, choosing Christ and esteeming Christ better than the treasures of Egypt. Why affliction? Because precious things have to be tried. And we go through those things. We don't always understand why and what's God doing. But we know that he's doing something if we'll be reminded. Now, let's just say this. A lot of people never go through the trials. Over in Daniel chapter 3, we won't look at it right now, but we will in a minute. Daniel chapter 3, there was this evil king that said, everyone's going to bow when they hear this music played. You're all going to bow. By the way, we're getting to that point in our country, in our world right now. We're getting to the point where everyone is being dictated what to do, all right? And we're getting there. And there were three guys who said, we cannot bow. And they didn't do it because of pride and of patriotism. They did it because they only worship their God. And this was a worship of some other person. But the punishment was you get thrown in the fiery furnace. And yet, they wouldn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow. And so they were going to get thrown in the furnace as a result. But they went ahead. But you know what? Do you know that there probably were other Jews there besides those three guys? There were definitely other Hebrew people there. But only three of them stood. And guess what? Only three of them got to go in the furnace. I said, got to go in. Only three of them had the privilege of getting thrown in the furnace. The others were just the same old milquetoast they always were. Hey, listen, I want to get thrown into the furnace for Jesus. And by the way, they met him in there. Daniel chapter 3, let's go ahead and look at it. I wasn't going to, but let's go ahead and look at it. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. But you know one of the benefits of being in the furnace? You find out real quick, you're not alone. Daniel chapter 3, and we'll just pick it up in verse number 21. Verse 20, the king said, throw them in the fiery furnace. 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three, the guards that threw them in, they died, they fainted. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, he saw something. Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they said, answered and said, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son, capital S, Son of God. He calls them out. But they got to be with Jesus in the furnace. You know what you find out? When you suffer for Jesus and you start to go through a furnace for the Lord, pretty soon you find out you're not alone. He's there. That makes all the difference in the world. By the way, they weren't bound. Their ropes burn off, but they were still okay, and they were walking around free. And the rest of the world says, oh, I could never go in there. I'd burn up. And you would, and they would. I could never do that. I could never. And the king, I could never. And yet, those guys prove that with Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're in the furnace. That's the great part. That's what God wants to prove to your family. With Jesus, it's okay to be in the furnace. With Jesus, it's all right to suffer. As long as he's there, I'm okay. And so, someone said, you know, by the way, it's always brightest in the furnace, I suppose. What does that mean? Well, look over with me in Psalm chapter 119. What does it mean when I say it's always brightest in the furnace? Well, that's not very nice, Pastor. I mean, it's just flames. That's not bright in my wood stove, too, but I don't want to jump in. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words give light, giveth understanding unto the simple. It's amazing how when you get into the affliction, you start to listen to the Bible better. You start to read the Bible with better comprehension. You start to listen to the messages better because all of a sudden your heart's tender and your ears are open and you want to hear something. And so the affliction of the furnace actually causes you to have brighter vision of what you need to see. You get better vision when you're having trouble. You see clearer, more clearly. It's brighter. People who've gone through the furnace, they see better. They understand some things. They have a different perspective because they see differently. It's brightest in the furnace. And you know it's true. Miss Wilma's been teaching the kids George Mueller, the story of George Mueller. You know why George Mueller was such a prayer warrior, walking with God and have faith? Because he went through the furnace. Because he was suffering. Because they were going from day to day, just praying and asking God for deliverance, and he was doing it. And you see better that way. Those are the benefits of the furnace. It purifies us, as we already read. Job said in Job 23:10, though he slay me, I will come forth as gold. And we read some of the other passages. Look with me in First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Behold, that means take a look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Then verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Listen, I got saved, but I wasn't like Jesus Christ. I was saved, but I wasn't just like Jesus Christ, Harmony. But you know what? After time, I started to be more like Christ. Now, I'm a long ways from there, but I started to be more like Christ as I went through more and more trials, more purification things. And that's what God wants for. See, I read that verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But I didn't quote verse 29, which is, for whom he didn't foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See, the whole purpose of the furnace is to make us more like Christ. And that's what he wants to do in our life, is to make us like him. And so there's the benefits of purification and also softening. I'm not going to turn there, but Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6 talks about the clay and the softening and then the hardening, but the softening. And to be softened like clay. And to be moldable. To be able to be molded. Let me stop here for a minute, since I think maybe some of the young people might think this isn't for them. It is for you. I guarantee you there's somebody in this room that has said or thought, why can't I have a mom and dad? Why can't I have a mom and dad that are both saved? If you young people are listening to Miss Wilma talk about George Mueller, you realize that God loved the orphans through George Mueller. There are adults sitting in this room that were orphans, but God still loved them. You know what it says in Psalm 27? It says, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. But why does God do that? You know what the young man said to me on Sunday in my office? You know what he said to me right after he got saved? You know what he said? With a tear in his eye, he said, I'm really kind of envious of my little brothers because they got a mom and a dad that are both saved. I said, hey, I know what you're saying. And I don't understand why it happened the way it did for you. But you know what? And I looked him right in the eye. I said, you know what? There's a reason why God did that. Because now that you're saved, there's way more people out there, way more young people out there who you understand that I don't even totally understand. And he nodded his head and said, I know. Why do you think he's been going around all week over in Newcastle? Hey, he's already on the mission, see? Now, stop looking at what you didn't get. And stop looking at what you think is unfair. That is a sin. I don't understand why I'm in the furnace. I'm trying to tell you why you're in the furnace. Because God's got a purpose. He chose you to be in the furnace. Did anybody here think that God ever messes up? So if you're in a furnace, it's because he wants it that way. Job never, as far as I know, Job never said, God, this isn't fair. No, Job said, even if he slays me, I'm still going to trust him. Young people and old people alike, you might have struggles in the present tense and have struggles from the past that God's allowed you to be put through for a reason. It says in 1 Corinthians, those struggles and those issues, I'm just going to read it since I can't quote it word for word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He wants to make us more like Christ, but you know what he's also doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. It's not in my notes, but I want to read it. 2 Corinthians 1, I believe it is. There it is. 2 Corinthians 1. Talking about God, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. As I've grown and matured in my life, I've realized, you know why sometimes I'm having trouble? Sometimes I'm having problems and affliction, and it's not because I did anything wrong. It's because God wants me to learn how to sympathize with someone else and to care and to comfort them in their trouble. You need to understand, if God's put you in the furnace of affliction, you need to understand that God wants you to learn some things and then be able to comfort someone else with the same issue. I told that young man on Sunday, I said, it's very sympathetic. I'm very touched when he looks at me and says, I wish I could have mom and dad both saved. I wish I was like my little brothers. They got a mom and dad in the same house and their mom and dad saved. But let me tell you something. It's that hurt that keeps that heart humble. Because let me tell you something. You're looking at a guy who was spoiled with a mom and dad who went to church. And I didn't have a humble heart. I didn't have an appreciative heart. It keeps that heart humble. And it helps to sympathize with others and understand others in a way that some of us don't fully understand. And God looks down and says, boy, that's painful. That's a rough trial they're going through. But look how precious they are. Gabriel, look how sweet they're turning out. Look at the softness in that heart, Gabriel. That is soft. And I already told you this, but it really, really troubles the enemy when you're going through the furnace and yet you're not having a problem. You read that in Daniel chapter 3. Who was it that was having the problem? The king and the other people. Hey! Hey, they're not dying. They're not screaming in agony. As a matter of fact, there's somebody in there with them. Listen to me. You know what? All of the other people in this world need to see. They need to see you not dying. Not struggling. And they really need to see somebody's with you. And his name's Jesus. And then lastly, if you want to just go back to where we started in Isaiah 48. What's so comforting about it, Pastor? I mean, you're telling me how other people are going to get comforted from it. What's so comforting? Well, you might not find this very comforting, but I do. It says there in Isaiah 48, verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. There's a word in that verse 10. It's a really, 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 really neat word. I have chosen you. In other words, it's not an accident. I allowed it. That's the hardest part sometimes. But it's also the blessing to realize that. And the little furnaces, Pastor Matt's never been through a big furnace, but the little furnaces that I've gone through, it has been a huge comfort when I realized he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's doing this on purpose for a reason. He's chosen. There's never one thing in my life that's an accident. God's doing it for a reason. God's got a purpose. There's something that he's doing. I don't know, and I don't want to get too far ahead, obviously. But you've heard me talk about how that we really need an addictions ministry in this town. And the Lord has brought someone back into my life that I haven't seen for 15 years or so, who has conquered some and still has some more to conquer, but has gone through some kind of program himself and is now put in a situation where he's going to end up living next to a ministry over in Wyoming. And I don't want to get ahead of God, and I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but don't you just love it when you start to see what God's doing and why he's doing what he does behind the scenes and what he's allowing? I mean, if you're Joseph, you're like, okay, I'm 17 and now I'm 18 and I'm 19, and I thought for sure I was going to do something other than live in Egypt and be a slave. And I'm 21 and I'm still a slave, and I'm 22 and I'm still a slave, and I don't understand what God's doing. In fact, I had dreams. When I was a kid, I had these dreams, and I didn't mean to have those dreams, but I had these dreams, and my dad and mom and my brothers were bowing down to me, and I don't understand what I'm doing here. I'm a slave in Egypt, and then this woman propositions me, and I tell her that it's wrong, and so what do I get for that? I get thrown into prison. That doesn't sound very fun. And I told the guys in prison, now when you get out, you remember me. They didn't remember me. 26, 27, 28. Age 30. And God says, Joseph, this is what I've been preparing you for. You're going to save the world. You're going to feed the world. He's chosen you to be right where he wants you. I saw a little poster one time that said, grow where you're planted. It was in Osage, Wyoming. Can't ask for a worse place to grow where you're planted. But you know something? We don't like to grow where we're planted. We like to go where it's greener. We like to grow where it's nicer. But if God's planted you there, then grow where you're planted. What's comforting? We're chosen, and I've already said it, we're not alone. We're not alone. Hey, I see some tears tonight already. I see some teary eyes. Listen to me, Uriah, I see some tears. You know what I see? I see tears because I see hearts that are soft. You know what? The Bible says, God is nigh to a broken heart. God is near to a broken heart. And save such as be of a contrite spirit. But then also notice this, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19. I quoted you verse 18 almost word for word, but here's verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of most of them. Is that what it says? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them. Some of the sweetest Christian ladies I've ever met, in fact, Miss Wilma has told some stories, are Christian ladies who grew up orphan girls. Christian ladies who grew up in abused situations. Some of the most godly people and men I've met and are people who did not grow up in a classic ideal home. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I've had some afflictions, and he's delivered me out of them all. And I am confident he'll keep doing so. The Bible says, yea, that all that are ungodly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But it's okay, because the Lord will deliver us out of those persecutions and those afflictions. And he has. And he'll give us a crown of life, the Bible says. Now let's go to Job 23. Job 23, but he knoweth the way that I take. Job couldn't understand. You know what Job's saying here? He's saying, I don't know the way that I take. That's the part that bothers me. How about you? It wouldn't be so bad if God would give me like a heads up, like a little, you know, preview. If God would just send me a little letter in the mail a month ahead of time saying, okay, it's going to be really bad, and here's what I'm doing. But he doesn't do that. So Job's saying, I don't know the way that I take, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And I've heard it said that a refiner of gold will refine the gold and refine the gold and refine the gold. And someone asked him, when do you stop? How do you know you're done? How do you decide it's good enough? He said, when it is so pure that I can look into it and see my own reflection. And so if God can look into us and see him, maybe that's when he'll stop. See him, his own image, which is the whole point, to make us more like Christ. There might be an ounce of me like Christ, but there's a whole lot of me that ain't. You too. Right? And I need his affliction. And I'm sorry, please don't misunderstand me. I'm sorry for the afflictions that you have. I don't wish them on you, just like I don't want them on me. But can I tell you what I'm not sorry? I'm not sorry for the soft hearts that we have represented in this room tonight. I'm not sorry for the soft and tender hearts and spirit of some of the young people in our church right now. I'm sorry they've had afflictions. But I'm not sorry with what God's doing, because I can see what he's doing. I'm sorry, truly sorry, for some of the afflictions that some of the older folks in here have had. But I'm not sorry with what God's doing with it. All I can say is, at least know this, you're chosen to be there. It's not an accident. You didn't stumble in there. You're there for a reason. And if he wants you out, he'll pull you out. But you're there for a reason. And I praise the Lord for how he's done things. The Mathesons posted a picture of themselves on Facebook the other day from about 15 years ago. I'm sure they probably think, man, I wish I was younger, But I looked at that picture and I said, but they weren't saved then. They're saved now. And if you're a Christian, you got more in front of you than you got behind you. You got more ahead of you. Your best days aren't behind you. They're still in front of you. Your best life's forward. But there is affliction. And, I thought, well, why am I going to talk about this tonight? Because, we're getting ready to have a baptism, and we just saw a young man get saved. And, there's some good things, but there was something inside that was hurting, and I just felt like maybe God wanted us to talk about this tonight. Maybe somebody else need to hear this tonight. Maybe right now you're going through it, and if you're like me, you're like, okay, went through it, last one. Yeah, right. Whew. Okay. Now I'm done. I graduated. No. No. That was just K-5. That was just K-5. We got first grade. And then second grade. Yeah. Yeah. Right? But that's just the process to make us more and more refined like him. More like him. More like him. I'll come forth as gold. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to be encouraged just with knowing that you got a plan. We don't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. But help us to realize you've got a plan. If we're suffering for our own issues, our own doing, help us to see that. But if the affliction is something that you're allowing for a reason beyond our control, help us to also see that and to know that we can just hang on and trust you and let you be in charge. Help us to be so pure that people can see your reflection in us. That they don't see us, they just see you. And that's going to take more refining. But help us to be that way. In Jesus' name, amen.